For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Peter tells the elders about Jesus, as we pick up in Acts chapter 4, verse 5. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
It came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, these men that we were introduced before in the Gospels who stood in judgment against Jesus Christ, and John and Alexander and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them, that was Peter and John and the lame man, in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Now, that question was no doubt asked by a shrewd attorney who knew the law. For in the law it declares that if someone comes and does a sign or a wonder before the people, so that all the people are amazed at the wonder which is done, and if that person should seek to cause you to worship other than Jehovah God, that person shall be put to death. He is a false prophet. Deuteronomy, I think it is 13th chapter. So, by what power or by what name did you do this? Now, Peter could have said, "I take the Fifth Amendment. You know, I can't be required to testify against myself," because they had the Fifth Amendment in their law. That was recognized. You could not testify. You could not force a man to testify against himself. Peter could have taken the Fifth, but he didn't. He took rather the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with these fellows. And knowing that the question was a league question, and knowing the consequence of telling the people of another name other than, well, actually, he told them the name of Jehovah God, because he said it's through Jehovah Shua. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." My, what an august body. They're all gathered here today, all of the leaders, the religious leaders, Annas and Caiaphas and the whole crew, all gathered here today. "If we this day are examined because of the good deed done to the lame man, by what means he is made whole." In other words, he is pointing out, isn't this sort of ridiculous? This whole furor and fuss has been created because there was a lame man who had been lame for about 40 years, and now he is standing here, his feet are straight, and he's standing up here with us. Is that what you've charging us for? Is that your charges that you're bringing against us? Because we made this man to be whole? What a peculiar thing to get so upset about. "Be it known unto you," now you want to know, "and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," and I imagine he really drug it out to press it in, "Yeshua Christos, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole." You want to know how it happened? This is it. How does that grab you, you know? He's straight on. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Now, Psalm 118, a glorious messianic psalm, which they all knew to be a psalm of the Messiah. declares the stone which was set at naught of the builders, the same has become the chief cornerstone. This is the work of the Lord. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they knew this was a messianic psalm. And when Peter starts to quote it, they know exactly what he's quoting. And they know that it is a psalm concerning their Messiah. And he said, you guys are it. He is the stone which was set of naught by you builders, but he has become the head of the corner. And neither is there salvation in any other. Oh, that's heresy in the Jewish language. To them, there was salvation through the sacrifices that they were offering. And today, with them, there is salvation through the good works that they do. But Peter boldly proclaimed to them, neither is there salvation in any other. Take note of that. In a day when there is tremendous pressure for us to become more liberal in our thinking, when we are accused of being narrow and bigoted, the Bible declares neither is there salvation in any other. You cannot be saved by chanting the while meditating on your navel. It just won't do it. Oh, now doesn't that sound narrow and bigoted? Because think how sincere that person is who is out there going, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The divine imperative, the must. There's no other way by which we must be saved. Jesus is the way. He said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. When people say, oh, you're too narrow, Smith, I think, all right, I'm on the right path. Oh, you need to be on the broad path. You need to, be more liberal. Accept other religions and other face and all. Neither is there salvation in any other. Now, when they saw the boldness, and hey, Peter was bold, wasn't he? This is the same crowd that he was standing outside when Jesus was facing them. And he was standing outside warming himself where when the maiden said, aren't you one of his disciples? He said, no, not me. You've made a mistake, lady. Oh, I'm sure you're one of his. I think I've seen you with him. No, 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 not me. And the soldier said, oh, yes, you are one of his. You're a Galilean. You've got the accent. And he began to swear and curse and say, I don't know the man. What a different man. How can you account for the difference? It's accounted for us right there in the scripture. But Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me. And here is Peter being a witness unto the power of Jesus Christ before the Sanhedrin and the whole crew, all of the rulers, the elders of Israel. And Peter is boldly declaring to them that they made a terrible mistake. They crucified the Lord of glory. They are the builders, prophesied, who set it not, the chief cornerstone. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now this is the first, many times the outsiders have a misconception of the Christian. And here we find, I think, two or three misconceptions. They perceived, their perception was wrong, but they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They did not have their degrees from the Hebrew University, but they were far from unlearned and ignorant men. They had had 3 years of private tutoring by the greatest master who ever lived. Far from being ignorant and unlearned, they were probably the most scholarly of the whole group. They knew the scriptures so well. They had such a vast comprehension of the Word of God. And so that was a first misconception. But they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, the second misconception. Because they put their relationship with Jesus in the past tense. What they didn't know is that Jesus was standing right beside them, prompting them what to say. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Jesus had said, "They're going to bring you before the councils. Don't take any forethought what you're going to say, but in that hour, the Spirit will give you the words to say." Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and lo, I am with you always." And to think that they had been with Jesus was wrong. They were walking with Jesus into the temple when they were walking in to pray. The presence of the Lord was with them throughout their life, even as the presence of the Lord is with us, and He is there for us to call upon Him at any time when we're in trouble or when we need help. In the name of Jesus, the power of that name is just as effective today as it was in that day. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the second misconception that they had been with Jesus, they were with Jesus at that moment. But this I like. Beholding the lame man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. What can you say? Here's this guy, his legs are straight, he's standing up there and he's smiling, you know. And he's standing. What can you say? You can't say anything against it. Here is evidence that you can't deny. You can't deny the power of the name of Jesus when this guy is standing there just smiling so big, and you know the condition that he was in all of his life. What the church needs today is more lame men standing whole in its midst. That's the kind of evidence that cannot be denied. And thank God for that evidence here. So many of you were so lame as the result of your sins, messed up with drugs, with alcoholism, with sex, and you were living such a lame life. But having come to Jesus Christ, He washed away all of the crud and the filth of the past, and now you stand with the children of God whole, and people who used to know you as you were see you as they are now, and they can't say anything because of the dramatic change that is quite obvious. You're standing there whole. What can you say? It works. What can you say against it? There's nothing you can say when you see the lame standing whole. There's nothing that can be said against it. And that is always the most powerful witness that the church can have. Lame men standing whole in the midst of it. And all of us who were so lame at one time, now made whole through the power of Jesus Christ. How glorious. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves. And they said, "What shall we do to these men? For that a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to everyone who dwells in Jerusalem." We can't deny it. We can't say, "No, the man isn't walking." You know, everybody in town knows what's happened now. We can't deny the miracle. What are we going to do? What can we do to these fellows to keep it from spreading any further? And so they said, "In order that it not spread any further among the people, let us strictly threaten them that they speak from now on to no man in this name." They're not to make mention of this name again. Now, this is the third mistake that they made, thinking that by threats they could shut them up, could stop their witnessing by threats or by beatings. That was the third mistake they made. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you're going to have to judge for yourselves. You know, whether or not you're going to listen to God or listen to man, that's something you've got to judge for yourself. But as for us, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So they threaten him. Now, don't speak anymore in this name. And he said, hey, whether it's right for us in the sight of God to hearken to you or to God, you know, whether a man should listen to God or man, that's something you, every man is to judge for himself. But we know for us, we've got to listen to God. We've got to obey God. We must obey God rather than men. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. There is a time when, as a child of God, if the laws of the land should be at variance with the law of God, as a child of God, I must hearken to God rather than to man. And God's law over my life and God's word over my life is supreme. I am deeply concerned with the apparent government's infringement upon our liberties. I am deeply concerned when the government padlocks a church in Nebraska because the pastor feels a religious conviction not to register his school with the state. That bothers me. You say, well, the pastor was wrong. Maybe. But yet, when the state begins to exercise authority and power over a man's genuine religious convictions, that is a dangerous trend. And I am deeply concerned with that movement on foot among the humanists within the government to silence the voice of the church. The humanist, who so many of them are editors in the magazines and newspapers, who are speaking against the freedom that the church has enjoyed from the state's intrusion into its activities. A recent editorial in the San Antonio Register was aimed against the church's receiving tax-exempt status for the properties where the people worship. That editorial bothered me because it made an assertion that by being tax-exempt, we were really being supported by the government. That's idiocy. The church is doing a tremendous welfare work among its people. If the church wasn't doing that work, it would then become the burden of the government. Many of you people were a burden on the government until your lives were transformed by Jesus Christ. The government is making much more off the church than it would make in taxes of the church's properties. Now, I do agree that if a church is engaged in businesses, or if the church has properties that are used for something other than the worship of God, that if they are used for commercial purposes and all, I do agree that these properties should be taxed. I think that's only right. But to tax the church properties that are used completely for that worship of God, I feel to be wrong and an infringement And there is that movement on foot today to take away all tax exemption from the church as far as their properties are concerned. I feel that's dangerous. And should the day come, if the government continues its trend towards this endeavor to control the activities of church by government rules and regulations, then I'll be singing, "Daddy, get your baby out of jail. Daddy, won't you please go my bail?" And I'll be calling Vernon and saying, "Hey, I need your help." Whether it is right in your eyes to obey God or man, you're going to have to judge for yourself. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. There was a time when the prophet Jeremiah got upset with God because he was thrown in jail for giving God's message. God said, "Go down and give him this message." He went down and gave him the message, and they threw him in jail. And he said, "That's some way for you to treat your servant. I go down and do what you tell me to do, and now you let them throw me in jail. I'm through. I resign. Here's my resignation. I'm not going to speak anymore in your name. I've had it." And then he said, "But the word of God was in my bones like a burning fire, and I could not but speak." That's what Peter is saying. Hey, it's something that's burning in me. I can't stop speaking the things which I have seen and the things which I have heard.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 4. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you, and may the Lord watch over you and keep you in His love and in His grace. May the Lord cause you to abound in every good work for Jesus Christ. And may the Lord grant to you new dimensions of relationship with Him, that you might become more keenly aware of His presence with you and His power to help you. May God bless you. May you have just a fruitful, blessed week walking with Jesus Christ.
The Word for Today resource, The Gospel According to Grace, is a commentary on the book of Romans. God's grace is fully demonstrated in the work of Jesus Christ, His suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. Only this grace can save a man from the wrath of God. The Gospel According to Grace clearly proclaims the truths of God found in the book of Romans. To know His grace is to know the abounding love that He has for mankind. And to know and receive the love of God is to be truly born again. You can order this book and study guide at twft.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for songs. It's not the way it used to be.
This program program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.